What? Am I part of that with you?
A couple of comments. The one meeting or two, I think it's important, as Kim initially wrote, to discuss strategic planning about new listeners and getting new listeners, fund drives and revenue streams. It should be integrated. They should also strategic planning should be focused on, you know, what we want to achieve with the radio station in a sense of an educational purpose. Since Bernard is here now, we've achieved the integration for the most part. There may be a few wrinkles, but we are achieving the integration of the management and the LSP. As Kim has indicated, the staff remains to be integrated, and we need to get them. And so I think that there should be not just one, but a series of meetings. If we get it all done in one meeting, that's great. And maybe with Steve's help, we can see where to go over there. Steve is interested in helping us with regards to improving our processes and with regards to strategic planning and that sort of thing. I think we should tap into that big time, but this is where we need to do it, because if we can integrate the three communities, the staff, the management, and the LSB, we'll do well, and of course, the listeners as well. So there's really nothing that's more important than this thing here. I mean, we're doing all of our meetings and our committees, and that in some sense is, you know, is arranging deck chairs on the Titanic. What really needs to be done is we need to get new listeners, and we need to reduce our fund drives, and we need to have more money coming in a more reliable way that the listeners like more, and we need to grow our listeners in the younger demographics. So I propose a series of meetings as necessary. This should be the first one, and I don't think there should be different kinds of meetings, finance only and strategic planning only. Thank you.
I'm next on the staff, and then Ken, and then we're out of time again, and I would rather not have any further extensions. I wanted to bring up a couple of other issues in relation to the management report, because we were told earlier on that there was a process of COVID evaluation that was going on, and also a process of evaluating the job descriptions and how they corresponded to the job that people were doing. And I'd appreciate hearing at some point in some way on both of those areas. I know that there was the LTAC had submitted an evaluation of the programming to the general manager, and I think at some point that should be aired to the public and people should have a chance to comment on it. And I think the question of strategic planning relates to what we discussed earlier last year about coming up with a budgeting process that's based on budgeting by objectives, trying to understand where we want the station to go and how we're going to find the wherewithal to get there in terms of local news and a lot of other things that all of us think would be advantageous to the station. So we're at time, and I don't expect a response tonight, but I would like to see some of the things up by the gentleman. So we're listening to comments.
I just want to say whatever that group is that's doing an outreach with those film events, and you said it was a music event for 1,300 people.
300.
Okay, well, congratulations on having successful events. But it would be great if the LSP could be informed about it, and I'm hoping, you know, that you have the full cooperation of programmers to attend, you know, with other celebrities and promote the events and so forth. Except it would be really good if the rest of the LSP just knows about the success, you know, because I think we all support you on it. And regarding the program change, I want to say that I really don't get involved in programming personally, but I do know it's one of the LSP's requirements that we ensure that programming decisions are done in a fair and collaborative manner. And, you know, some people are getting a little frayed around the edges that I hear from some of the programmers who are being put on hiatus. But that's to be expected. You know, changes always can create a little battle here and there. But I just want to make sure that the LSP is aware that it's one of the duties of the LSP to make sure the programming aligns with the mission statement and is decisions are made in a fair and collaborative method. It's section, Article 7, section, I don't know, but you can find it in there. Duties and functions of the LSP.
Yes. So this is a period of public comments. We would ask the people stay for the topic, but it's not, we cannot require what people say with the minutes. I have first speaker, 7.5 minutes at this point. So these three additional periods of public comments.
Steve Goldsmith, first on this, on the meeting. In an ideal world, you would have a strategic planning process with the whole community, meaning all the different elements, starting with what's our mission, our goals, our objectives, and then break up into working groups on each of the areas that need work. But also, is in this circumstance, is also desperately needed, and time is right for a brainstorming on how to expand revenue and find new forms. So it's not the end of the world to start with the brainstorming session, since that's already in motion. Go with that, and then come back in a month or as soon as possible, again, for a, you know, typically a board and a big group with like the staff and the management and everything like that. That should be an all-day process.
Mm-hmm.
If people don't have that much time, then come back and do at least allocate at least a half a day for where you go from beginning to end. What one of the goals of it is to have, you know, like a five-year plan that you can come back and refer to. But the other thing is that it brings a lot of unity between the different communities who haven't talked to each other very much in an organized fashion, and agreement on mission objectives, and kind of refresh the vision of the, all the people in the organization and in the community and in the movement that we are. And then the question, the other question I had was on the solar thing quickly. What is the cost to do the solar? And have we considered, since we have $25,000 in the kitty, something like a prepaid lease or even a straight-up lease from, like, Solar City, where you don't have to put anything down, and it just, it doesn't give you, it reduces your electricity costs somewhat, not as much as if you had a either a prepaid lease or you bought the system, but a prepaid lease from Solar City works pretty well, and you have it for 20 years, but they never pick it up from you. So I don't think we should give up on the solar because I think our standing in the community is important.
How much time do we have? 3 hours?
I'm
going to be the day I'll be cute. Never.
Okay, this is Bella DeSoto. So what did the Clear Channel Company do in the early 1990s? It got out all the AM, FM, most of them radio stations.
Nationwide,
of course. Now, similarly, Pacifica has done the same and began doing it 6 years ago. Today, we have the majority bulk of on-air programs that are pre-recorded. They're canned. No local community interaction, no connection. People have no way of interacting with these hosts. But yet, we hear them with their parlaying, their nonsense on air. Similarly, the abusive practice of management to continue to preempt so many continuity programs. It's so alarming, and yet you have the audacity to say, oh, those programs that have not been performing will be viewed as being put on a serious hiatus. This concerns me greatly. Also, I am a bookkeeper of many years. What do you need in the business office area of your management report? Well, we've got $268,000 in the bank, but bear in mind that you have a parenthesis of $458,000. What does that tell me? Can you please identify what that is? Then, total payment. Payables means money I have to pay out. Oh, $68,000. What does it mean in parenthesis, $45,000? And then, the archive is in debt to the National for $102,600. And what does it mean in grants is $165,400? Can you please clarify these things for me? Thank you. I am the interim chair of the CAB, and yes, there is an independence. There must be an independence between management and the CAB. And we meet again on the 19th at Mercado La Paloma on South Grand. So I invite every single one of you. All of you can come. You have no voting rights, but you can be part of this. It's very important. and I hope that me and the working group can expand this mission.
What time, Bella?
1 o'clock. Thank you. Sunday.
Thank you.
And also the Sunday morning breakfast with Dr. Gerald Horn.
It's such a private affair. Do we know why?
Of course.
I don't even know where it is. Is it at your house, Melissa?
Hello, everybody. I've been gone for several months. I've had a hip replacement, but I'm glad to see you all. I'm going to use a shorthand is called Google, and you'll see how I use it. For many years, I've made my comments about the programming and taking care, not including very important programs such as those that are
put a little back there. Okay.
Like this.
It's directional.
Right into the topic. Okay. Please don't penalize me here.
No,
that's fine.
Well, you're not.
Okay. So I've been making comments about rational programming about how to discern between truth and falsity, how to argue, logical methods of dealing with issues. Instead of telling people, how to think, instead of telling people what to think, you tell them how to think. This is much more powerful. So now, I'm also going to talk about the Wolfson programming on KPFK, the one that Terry Garr has and other people. I'm going to make a specific recommendation now. There's an organization which is international called the Centers for Inquiry. It has a Los Angeles branch in Hollywood. They have a theater there. They also are connected with podcasts and probably can produce radio broadcasts. There's a subgroup here called the Independent Investigation Group, which investigates all these Google claims. And I have a history with them, and I can tell you that not one Google claim has ever panned out, and we've offered them thousands and thousands of dollars to prove their claims. So what I'm suggesting, Bernard, is that you allow me to tell them. The executive director there to contact you, or you contact him and see what you can do in the way of getting something on the air that is meaningful.
Center for Inquiry.
All right, now please.
I will not to introduce myself. Everybody knows me. Last night I was at the station, and during the Fernando's program, I was listening. 10 minutes was used, and for 10 minutes he came out with $450 at 9 o'clock. And Rodrigo's program at 10 o'clock, he came out with $1,300. I'm questioning why all the time we are preempting this program and give it to another person to repeat some program that which people have heard 3 times,
Anani's
or other programs. Please, let's maintain the same program all the time so they don't lose their program. Another question, I was there, Terry Guide has to leave, and there are some administrators are coming. We pay them to this individual, some administrating, they don't get paid, but some favored ones, they get paid. What is the relation? Why the volunteer does not cover that, or why the staff does not cover that? Thank you. That's my question.
I agree with the planning effort in particular. That was my area of specialty when I went back to school in 77. And no plan, regardless, normally you would do a short-term plan, a medium-term plan, and a long. like a 1 of 5 and a 15-year plan. And yes, the mission is the primary driver of any plan. And no plan is worth a whip if you don't have a feedback mechanism and reporting back built into it. And that requires considerable effort and also record keeping along the way of executing the plan. But please consider those things when you're doing the plan. And yes, as a systems analyst, I know that you need to have everybody that's involved in the work involved in the planning. Otherwise, they don't buy it. They don't make it their own. One of the basic rules of planning, too. Also, I think that we need to be mindful of a shift of our demographic from, you know, people who can hardly move like me to people that are alive. And in my thinking, Bruce Springsteen is not connecting and never will connect with somebody that's under the age of 30. You know, that was just an observation in the current programming.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think there needs to be a reconnection with the Spanish youth as well. And that requires knowing not only what they're into, but putting them on the air from time to time.
The next person will be on the next act.
The budget wasn't the only issue with respect to that, and you know, there were a bunch of things that came into play with respect to the viability of solar power at KBSK. And clearly we're still looking at options for energy responsibility going forward. Bella, if you have a look at the financial part of that management report, the business office, if you have a look at the first line, it says for February the 13th in bold, and in parentheses and not bolded, compared to January. Okay, so if you follow that logic, then the next time you see bold is February, in parentheses, it's compared to last month.
Okay,
compared.
Okay,
got it. What we did last month.
Thank you.
Roger, I think your idea is all very well put. Thank you very much for making the suggestion. And to Linda, I'm thrilled that the program she mentioned made that sort of money last night. That's great. The programs that are being repeated are making on the order of $46,000 per hour. It's economics at this stage. I don't like to repeat terribly much either. Thank you.
What about the preemption? Can you address that?
I think I just did.
No, you did not.
I think we died.
The programs are preempted because the other ones are making significantly more money doing fundraising.
But on your report, you speak of several programs that have not been producing. Again, Rodrigo Argueta and many others for years have requested the posting of what each program.
Point of order?
Yes, point of order.
I think Bella and the other listeners, they have to listen to. And for these outfits,
we have nothing to address.
It's very disruptive. We try to address as much as we can.
You're not the manager.
All right, so,
I'm going to mail out the CAP requirements to everyone, to the LSB. I hope you'll forward it to all your management and whoever to understand what the CAB is all about. It's only like page or two. It's not very complicated, but nobody really kind of gets it yet. So I will, you know, tonight or tomorrow, I will send that out, and I hope this will clear up some of the specifics of
five pages in the CPB.
Okay. As a further point of contact, I have mentioned several times that anybody who wants to contact me, the email is mnovic.
No, Michael, yeah. Not with the CAB.
Excuse me.
That's general.
I said as a further point of contact, the many points were raised, and if people want to bring them back up and keep us in mind of them, my email for this purpose is mnovic.kpfklsd@gmail.com. If anybody in the public wants to send their comments in that way, I will make sure that it's across to you. Just aware of that. We have the PNB Director's Report. for 15 minutes and public comment in the area after that. Another step and a half.
Yeah, I'm on the PND, and so is Lady Luzon, Ali Lepka, and Summer Reese. And I emailed out a report to the LSB, as I was admonished when I was when we had elections that I hadn't sent out any reports. So this is my first report, and I'll do it. It's done. And it's very brief, and I'm just going to read the summary that I put at the top. And I only brought three copies because I didn't know how many people were going to come. But I did mail it to everybody, email it to everybody on the LSP. So I have a few copies here anyhow. So I'm just going to read my brief summary, which is, it was good to meet again with all the directors. The hotel was excellent. The station held a great party, and the dining events were fun. We had lots of closed sessions. In public session, no significant policy was offered or approved. One issue left hanging was election of PND committee members. So that's just a brief summary. And I would say that we had elections, and we elected a chair, same as last year, Summer East, and we elected a vice chair, same as last year, Bill Crozier, and we elected a secretary, Fia Wandaza, same as last year, and we retained our recording secretary, John Gary. And other than that, I know a lot of the people here for listener comment also attended and made listener comments at the public event. And one of the things that was noteworthy historically was that Public Radio Archives published a book that they talked about called Redefining Black Power, which was a kind of a hallmark for that because it's the first book they published. And that's about it. The views were great. In the closed session, the chairs did report out what we covered in those. But generally, it's all closed sessions that involve financial and personnel matters. And that's about it. Yeah, financial, personnel, and legal. And that's my report. And again, I, you know, if anybody wants to see, I have a copy here of what I sent to the LSB.
I didn't get it, I don't think.
Well, I emailed it this afternoon.
You must have been late.
You got it?
Yeah. I didn't get it.
I sent it to LSB at KPFK. So whatever distribution that is.
KPFK-LSB?
No.
LSB at
KPFK.
The regular
email. Okay, well, I'll send it out again with individual addresses when I get home tonight. But it's okay. No earth-shattering.
Thank you, Ken. I'm still guilty of not submitting a written report. I apologize. I'm going to work on that. Ken covered a bunch of the committee elections. We had our auditor, Ross Wisdom, from Ross Wisdom Associates, New York City, was with us all Friday after spending Thursday at KPFK. That's the area of things to do with KPFK's financials for the audit, and he gave us a preliminary report on where we're at with our audit, hoping to have it finished by the end of February to get it filed on time with CPB. And so he spent Friday with us, and we spent a good deal of executive session time with him and the CFO on Friday. On Saturday and Sunday, we had our attorney, Andy Gold, general counsel with us, and we did cover a number of personnel and legal matters. As Kim reported, we had a good report from the general manager and Brian Shaven, director of the Radio Archives, as well as from Michael Novick, chair of the LSB. And the report out from executive sessions that was approved were on key matters of importance, particularly in the Bay Area, but the network as a whole, which is that the board voted to appeal the decision in Berkeley v. Pacifica, and the board appointed me without review to hire an election supervisor for the recall election of Tracy Rosenberg at KPFA. I had been previously selected to pick someone, and I had brought that choice back to the board out of transparency, and there was some disagreement as to that particular individual, but the board subsequently voted to simply have me make the next selection and not bring it back to the board. It will be my choice entirely as to who is hired to conduct that election. So as to actually get it done and not have people continuously reject it, because we've had two rejections of proposed election supervisors thus far. And in that matter, I am leaning towards a company, although more expensive, less likely to lead to the types of objections that have arisen with individuals thus far. So those are the two issues that the board agreed to report out from executive session that were of interest to the entire Pacifica community. And the issue of committee elections is something which will be revisited at the February 29th meeting of the TND. There was some dissension as to the bylaws, which can be ambiguous on various matters, as to whether the current and long-standing practice of the board has been that there be one director from each signal area as a member of committees, and for all committees except for the finance committee and coordinating, that there be, you know, two LSC members from each signal area. It was the interpretation of one director that that the bylaws section at least meant that there could be more than one director from each signal area. There was objection to that as being cumbersome and making administration and quorum issues for these various committees, some of which, such as technology and governance, virtually did not meet last year because they could never achieve quorum. So there are various motions before the board at this time. A motion was put forward to be limited to one director, as has been practiced. That was defeated, but a motion to reconsider was brought forth, so it will be addressed at the next meeting. We have gotten an opinion of legal counsel. But basically, it's going to be the first order of business is setting these committee positions, because we can't move forward unless we know who's going to serve on the committee. And there's also an issue, a motion pending regarding quorum, which had been brought by another member prior to this issue, to give us some flexibility in terms of allowing, when, you know, if you have a committee that has 14 members and seven of them show up for the call and they're sitting there for an hour and they're not able to conduct any business, you've wasted the time of the people who bothered to come. And some of these committees could, like the task force, for instance, I'm on the development task force, there's just a few of us, but it's functional in terms of we meet, we discuss things, we bring in other people, we're trying to move some of these issues forward, because we don't have those quorum constraints. When there's just a few of us, we can still conduct business. So I believe all these issues will be at the forefront of this upcoming TND meeting, because there are competing interests, inclusivity versus being able to conduct business because of quorum issues. So even though it's all administrative, it's pretty important, and it came up right at the end of the TND meeting. So that's one of the first things we'll be taking up at this upcoming TND meeting, is to resolve those issues so that we can move forward with our committees for this upcoming year. And the other thing is, we've been on a very consistent schedule. I've tried to normalize the scheduling for the network, because we have all the individual stations and everybody's over committee, and so we've fairly well achieved that in the past year, in terms of we scheduled all of the TND meetings for the entire year at the beginning of the term, which made life easier for everyone, and also to pick dates that didn't conflict with pre-existing long-standing dates at some local committees. You know, WBAI had certain dates that they've been meeting like that same day for years. I think we're going to continue to work on that here, and we want to get it to where it's sort of like clockwork, so that you don't have double scheduled meetings and people are not able to attend their committees. So we've got three members this year, so I'll be taking into consideration their scheduling objectives, and hopefully we'll get that settled at this upcoming meeting as well, and then schedule the meetings for the entire year. And I noticed for the first time in a while that we've gotten out the KPFK LSD meeting up on the KPFTX calendar, which I really appreciate, and I would request respectfully as the secretary, Terry, however that is handled, that we also do the same thing, because for the other stations, many of them put all their committee meetings up on KPFTX as well, so people will see, okay, this station's having, et cetera, this meeting, we can't meet that day. And obviously, once we schedule all the committee meetings, it will be easier for the local stations to figure out what dates are not available. But the more we can do that, the easier it will be for people serving on four, five, and six committees to attend all the meetings.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to save a little time for any questions.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, it's at the beginning of the year mess as we try to administratively get functional quickly.
I'd like to ask a question. Now, I was on a committee this year, and the chair that always calls the Friday night meeting which I really thought was against, or should be against, bylaws. I mean, some of these people really need to get a life. Friday night for a lot of people, regardless of the movies that night, it's the end of the work week. Even if you aren't going out, it's a night to kind of chill out, maybe do Netflix. So is there a policy in place? Because I think this person was very obnoxious.
May I speak to Michael? There are policies in place specifically prohibiting meeting on certain days. I ran on a strictly no weekend meeting platform my first term as chair because my life was made miserable, as were many other people, by consistent Friday and Sunday scheduling, because those were the only days we met for the entire first year that I was on the national board. And people's marriages were falling apart behind it. What I would suggest, again, is sort of normalization. Several of, like, local LSBs are meeting on the same day of the week every month. You know, I think we're, like, third Wednesday and two or three others are second Wednesday. We may want to look at, you know, versions, sort of consolidating these things. The more we can function like a clock, the more we can avoid dates that are inconvenient for people. I think the community take that up on the committee. Right now, there's a standing policy that is certainly advocate for it.
So what are we going to do about populating the PMV committee tonight? Are we just going to stick with this two delegates rule?
Oh, yes. Actually, the issue that arose at the national level has no bearing or impact on local station board members' participation. It's really only about the PMV director. That is where the contention is. Can more than one director serve on a committee? Because it is in policy up until now that it is only one director per committee. But it has no effect on the election tonight or people signing up for committees. But please, you know, only sign up for a committee if you're going to actually show up for it. I mean, it's a real problem. People, they feel obligated to serve on two or three committees. They sign up for them, and then they decide one of these committees isn't really that important, and they never show up for it. And then all the other people, they don't have farm. They can't get any work done. So we do need to fill those, and none of that's changed.
Can I recommend that the CMU director take the questions in block? This way, a question. What is the status of the past motion for 5 hours of Spanish language programming? How is that motion being tracked? And what is the status of the implementation of it?
That is something which was given to the executive director to implement with management because it was passed by the CIPCA national board. At this point, it resides in the hands of management, both national and local. If it appears that no implementation is occurring, it would not be inappropriate for the board to revisit that issue with the executive director. If you would like, I'm certainly happy to ask for an update as to what's going on. I mean, there's no further board action at this time unless someone passes a motion, because the board took action. Now, the ball is in management's court to implement that in some fashion, but it could easily be brought back up if it appears implementation is simply not occurring.
I have a question in regards to, would there be notification of, like, when the election would take place at KPSA or when an election people are in with, would be elected? There's no regards to the KPSA election people are in.
I'm sorry.
Simple recall
election.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so, like,
what are you asking?
Like, the timeline between when that would occur?
Sure. Yeah, I'm under quite a bit of pressure, actually. Okay. I've sent that request. I'm going to try and make the decision as quickly as possible. I had announced between the meeting that I would try to do it within a couple of weeks, which would have been this weekend. It's taking a little bit longer than that. I'm going to probably have to issue a statement up to KPFA so they know what's going on. But I would anticipate probably by the end of the month. I mean, this is something that we're under. We're definitely under pressure to get this done, and I will put out a public statement when it's been done, who's been hired, and what's in front.
Okay, so no further questions from the board. We have 7.5 minutes of public comments. Again, preferably questions to the community directors, but any comments that are always good.
Point of order, could we pick up the public comment with the person who was on the
queue?
Careful, there's cords coming down over there.
No, but there's just one other point of order. We make sure that the public who hasn't spoken gets a chance.
Point of information, Mr. Kent. That piece of equipment over there is teetering on the brink, and I think it's totally expensive, and it's going to go over the court. It's told again. If this microphone is in my chair. Thank you. That's extra caution around the spaghetti, though.
Go ahead.
Yes, good evening. Dr. Thomas Talley, a member of the CAB and been associated with the station for many years. America today is hurting, and Pacifica is hurting. The way I see it, the only way the safety of pay can remain viable in the face of dwindling listenership and revenue is threefold. One, generating new revenue streams, and really thinking outside of the box. Mm-hmm. I'll say I was delighted to hear John Winger address this with special meeting suggestion this evening. Mm-hmm. Number two, making station programming more relevant and radical by A, dropping some very bland and largely irrelevant programs such as those by Earl or Barry Hutchinson, Terrence McNally, Ian Masters, and Al Jazeera.
Yeah.
And B, shifting away from so-called script programming. Number three, providing a forum for a much wider range of voices who are currently addressing major issues and opposed to Bush-Obama status quo.
Mm-hmm.
I keep hearing things like, well, give them a chance. Well, we've had enough of this. Let's get rid of these turkeys. Okay, sure. People like Chris Hedges, Gabor Mate, Richard Wolf, Robert Scheer, Naomi Klein, and Naomi Prince. But please, on a more regular and dependable basis, and let's include some other voices like Dr. Ron Paul.
Thank you.
Who, by the way, at least from my view, is a much better candidate than Obama or any of the next case neocons today. Thank you.
We have to have a wide range of views, and this would be best facilitated, not solely, but to the extent by more, before now, dialogue and debate, because we're all going to have favorites. We're all going to be against certain programs. There's never going to be a case where everything is perfect for everybody in terms of what they hear. And there's no perfect solution, but partial remedy would be more dialogue and debate between people who you can't stand even, as well as people whom you love.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to throw that in as a counter comment. On the second, Rodrigo's point earlier, which come up in early meetings, it'd be good to have postings on the fund drive, but posting not just how much money in an hour, but what program that was, and more normally, what program that was actually, what kind of gifts were on, who did, and sort some way to give a sense of the relation between the money and the on, because it isn't the case of, you know, a certain hour of a certain program, it's all for that program. So the more data, those three or four points would be helpful. And most of them do that in that regard. Yeah, I don't see why the arbitrons can't be made available to those who want to look at them, since they're not secret to my knowledge. And when they are available, I don't know who on the board has seen them. I've never seen them when I was on the board, nor in my sense. I think they would be helpful, whether or not they're accurate, quote unquote, or is not the point. The point is they are a factor. And they, as well as our membership and our fund drive, are three statistics that would be very useful to have in mind. Not to determine anything, but simply helpful in deciding things. And I have another comment on the next round.
I noticed that in the last round of answers to the general manager, he answered everybody's questions, didn't make one single remark about my comments, and I would really like to hear a response from the general manager with respect to my remarks. And I'm going to support the previous two speakers. The key word here is bland. The programming is bland. It doesn't excite the imagination in any way whatsoever. I realize this is a sensitive subject right now because we have an interim program director who's been interim for years, and we are pushing to be program director. And the question was asked before, who's making these decisions? Understand that the interim program director has appointed a little task force that he consults with. But it's like a king's counselor.
Here.
I'd like to know how program decisions are made. I want to include the community in program decisions. I want to include everybody here in program decisions.
This unilateral stuff is not working. There's been a leak. Somebody mentioned the Arbitron right here. There's been a 30% drop from the previous 3 months in the weekly cumulative. In the 3 months preceding the December to January month, there was a 30% drop. Now, to what would you attribute that? I would attribute it directly to the length of closing.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Lee Chris, and I've been refining this idea in my mind for a long time. I've spoken to Jennifer Tiger about it, and it's regarding a program that fits into every point that everyone has brought out tonight. And it's a school. It is possible not to have a university, to have a school at KPAK, a school that teaches people to become activists. All of us here are activists to a certain degree, and it is up to us to bring out these qualities in the business. I represent 100,000 people, and all of us here do, but all of these people are too busy doing drugs, unemployed, running the streets, listening to other stations, listening to all the false stories that we listen to in life. And I have an idea for a program which is living in university that gives degrees on the radio, degrees that don't pay any money. They pay satisfaction, a reward of self-satisfaction from knowing that you're out there leading activists like Sojourner Truth.
Not Martha.
No, not my question, but she's all right. Thank you.
Pamela, just out of here, I'll make it real brief, but Bernard, you never responded to the abusive practice of management preempting that the core community program, and not just them, but all the programs that are disadvantaged, and then they're told they're not bringing enough money, they're not given the opportunity to develop their air on air space, their audience, and then beyond that, when they were uprooted from what it took years to develop an audience, they were uprooted from that consultation. I wanted to consider the injustice of that, but what I wanted to talk about is socialism. As every one of you hears me speak about every single day, Dr. Gerald Horn actually ran on the ticket of the Peace and Freedom Party, the only socialist political party since 1978 registered in California. We don't hear any of this, no education about this on KPFK. And do you think there's a programmer that even knows what goes on with the socialist movement? No. So where are we today? How relevant are we? Do you think capitalism is the thing to parlay every day on KPFK? And so we have strict programs that steal the lifeblood of local programming. So this is the issue why we're not bringing money. But we never talk about that, do we?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations. Thank you. Congratulations. Thank you. Please, can you directly respond to those questions?
I didn't hear any direction directed at the community directors for the
but thank you all of you.
But yeah,
and the
manager. Yeah. Okay. I heard loud and clear on many of the issues.
Yeah, well, then why don't you make a comment?
You want me to make a comment? I think I already made this comment actually to management in terms of preemption that I prefer to have more fundraising going on with shows that are already on the air and not. For me, it's as much as a listener that when I've heard something three fun drives in a row, I can't listen to it, no matter how good it was, if I've heard it 25 times. So, I mean, that's just a general programming thing. It's not about the preemption of particular programs, but in general, that programs should, to the greatest extent possible, be allowed to raise funds during their hour with their listeners, and that if they need additional assistance to have people to go in and pitch with them. You know, I've gone in every radio station I've been at in our network. I do pitching. At DC, I do pitching. I do pitching in New York. You know, you put people in and you have help bring some more energy in when people are there. It doesn't mean you're not going to have to preempt something sometimes because you've got stuff that makes a ton of money. But to the greatest extent possible, I mean, we lose a lot of listenership, I think, by the end of Fun Drive, certainly. At the first week, you're okay. By the third week, you're like, wow, I've heard that 15 times. I can't listen anymore. And murder serves me. I mean, I think we all know.
We don't have shows. We have shows. Shows are okay.
I do have a follow-up question in relation to the listener question to what you said earlier.
Yes.
You said that the P&D was looking into special grant writing for election coverage. Is that right? And I'm wondering if there's any plan in there to cover beyond the two parties that monopolized the airways in general.
Well, how the discussion went is I had a discussion with executive management and technical staff at the national level about this upcoming year's programming coverage, the convention, and the G20 summits were brought up. In the course of that discussion, we also discussed that we should be covering at least the Green Party in addition to the Democrats and Republicans, and if the resources were available, we could cover the
Green Party. The only
good
party? Is the Green Party the only good party?
Bella, you're out of order.
Bella, I'm trying to answer what has occurred.
Bella, stop.
Just factually,
this is the last
one. Excuse me. The question was raised. She's answering it. Stop.
Yes, and this is not giving my opinion as to what should occur. This is just a recap of what has occurred in discussion. That we have the Republican and Democratic conventions, that the Democratic convention is most likely to be less robust in terms of an item to cover Bella, please, I am trying to answer the question if you would give me the courtesy of just allowing me to finish. That during the discussion that the Democratic convention is likely to be less interesting, quite frankly, because we have an incumbent candidate, and that there may be that a lot of the action at the mainstream convention is going to be out in the street with Occupy and various protests going on outside both Democratic and Republican conventions.
Why do I care? Should I care?
And that it would be best to have reporters in the street to cover what's going on with activists as well as what's going on the floor. And that in addition to those two main conventions that everyone covers, that we should probably cover, this is not my idea, this was what came up in the discussion, that the Green Party should probably be covered. If the resources were available, that we should cover other conventions as well. The Libertarian Party was mentioned. No decisions were made as to what other conventions to cover. I brought up the issue that there was nothing in the budget to cover any of these conventions. How are we going to pay for them? They take money. People have to travel to these locations. They have to stay somewhere when they get there. You have to rent space on the floor. And I'll just finish. I took it to the development task force the following week because we're working on issues of how do we raise money and increase our publicity profile nationally for the network. And I suggested that there are grant opportunities for specific events, such as coverage of political events, and that we should see what was available. I pointed out that it is late in the season to apply for a grant. This is something that should have been done last year for this year's coverage, but I did not see a plan put forth financially as to how to cover any of this. And so that's all we've done. And we've gotten a list of potential grantors, and we've just done basically as much as we can cover with as much money as we can get.
I'll just repeat my question. Yes. Is there any consideration to getting grants for coverage of other parties?
Yes, definitely. And the
Green Party.
And the G8 and the G20 summit will also raise a high profile movie down.
Moving on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No,
that
was
for the Green Party.
Nothing's been decided, Bella.
Oh.
No, but the comments will be taken back to the P&D and revealed very quickly.
I understand management is taking the way of the business, which is okay, you know, but it's not only the The biggest asset that we have is the volunteer work. The real money, you know, comes from volunteer work, you know. And they're taking an account, please, so we don't get, you know, later and, you know, difficulties, you know. So, and then it's not, of course, it's not only a business, you know, but, you know, it's a lot of more than that.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is populating the P&D committee in relation to that. The governance committee proposed that there be a brief description of each committee so that people understand what the responsibilities are. There's a coordinating committee, we do not select members to that, but we would hope for a brief report about the tasks of the coordinating committee for community.
Do you want to run through this real
quick? Very quickly.
Okay.
The first one.
Sure. Coordinating committee is strictly a P&D committee to coordinate functions between meetings and to coordinate the meetings themselves. We do a lot of discussion of agenda items as well.
The personnel committee also is not, does not have LSD members on it.
And it discusses personnel policies as well as the annual evaluations of the CFO and ED are coordinated through that committee.
The finance committee also is composed of the treasurer and treasurer.
It's one P&D director from each single area and the treasurer from each single area, and that's a limited membership to go on.
And the CFO.
Oh, with the CFO, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, programming, we do have two seats. Margie and I have been on that committee. It does try to come up with national programming policies. We drafted a proposal for a program council requirement. I don't think it got through the PNB, or even to the PNB, really.
Yeah, it came up the last meeting before
the meeting. Governance, two seats also.
Yeah, the governance it tries to actually look through what other committees have been discussing to try and see if it allocates in the appropriate committee and if it's in accordance to the Bible.
Many other committees get to elect two members of the LSD. Is there something currently in that committee?
Yeah, I've been the chair of the audit committee. And Brett, did you want to speak?
I guess I can say a little bit about the audit committee since I served on it.
Yeah.
I actually got elected to two committees this year, and the audit committee was the only one that actually met and did some work. The audit committee has a very important function in that it actually picks the audit group that does the yearly audit of Pacifica. And then the audit committee is also responsible for going over the management letter, the management letter is carried by the editor, and
reviewing the 990s.
And reviewing the audits themselves. And also assisting the auditor in accomplishing the actual audit.
Okay. Technology committee? Somebody on that?
Well, technology committee, I was also on the technology committee along with John Wanger, and the technology committee was infamous for not reaching quorum all year. I think there was six attempted meetings. I believe I remember John and me meeting on the first meeting.
If I may, I served on technology last year, and it was robust for a little while there. It did discuss some very interesting issues affecting what we should be doing to sort of ease our technological burdens and jump into the next century here. So it can be a great committee if people are working on it who are fully involved with that.
Elections committee, up to the point you might go.
The election committee has a lot going on right now, a lot. I think that the guys that were on the technology committee, they could, any of you, I'm sorry, I don't want to exclude anybody, but we're going into a lot about how the vote's done, the tallying, the mechanics of it. And I was interested in the supervising, how they got the, you know, are things bad, making sure elections were fair, that sort of thing. So if that's your thing, I would urge you to run for it.
I'll just report also that we did actually issue a request for proposals seeking a professional election management for the entire election network. And we're awaiting responses to that. There's just two or three letters. But in fact, Okay, so, we're going to the director member. The director member, I think, previously was going to so there's a director member and then the LSP member, so I kind of convened it, but...
Yeah, I wasn't, yeah. Well, I wouldn't have met, actually, never met.
They've never met the year before. The year before, and nothing happened the entire year before. This is one of the things we're going to be discussing in CMD, the fact that many of these cities have trouble. I mean, a lot of people sign up for two committees, and you really think you can only handle one, you'll sign up for one, please. And another note on the affiliates, the two task forces, the archives and the affiliates. The affiliates task force is a robust committee in which people participate fully. The archive task force has not met in 2 years at all. So I don't know, and I don't, frankly, from the feedback I've gotten, know that it's actually helpful to the archives to have this task force. So it's one of those things I'm going to bring up when we have a CMD meeting. So.
Okay, so again, the ones that we are electing people to be with the National Programming Committee are their nominations for the National Programming Committee.
My understanding is you can volunteer, and if there's more than two, then we have an election. So it doesn't like nobody has to nominate somebody.
Okay, so there's self-nomination.
Point of personal privilege. Mics are not working well. People have to be more distinct and speak louder. At this point, some people here don't realize there's three people running for this committee. Rodrigo, Ankeny, and Lawrence.
Does anybody didn't realize this? All right, the reason we're voting is that there are three candidates.
We'll get through
this. One is passing on the ballot. I'm going to proceed with the other just to see.
Yeah.
No, when I'm voting, I
Well, we've had talks.
Okay, too many things.